Greetings. This is Larry Scher for Yah's Assembly, and we're going to do part two today of Satan's Devices. We left off last time when I was explaining a graphic that's entitled Satan's Agenda for Mankind, and I go through a whole list of things that are basically part of his devices, his methods, all the things that he's implementing now right before our eyes, right into our culture and our society. And all of these things have to do with depopulation, mind control, conditioning the people, basically creating the sheeple that we have today, where many people cannot understand, cannot accept for a lot of reasons. And that goes back to, again, to my book where I explain the mindset of the world. But let's continue on the graphic, and we'll briefly give you some information. I believe we left off with geoengineering. Now, what geoengineering is when you look up and you see tic-tac-toe, that is planes that are flying over us that are dropping millions of tons of toxic material, aluminum, barium, graphene oxide, various other toxins, and they're supposedly, done listening to Dane Wigington, so my mind is going on what he says every week. That's where you should go if you don't know what geoengineering is. Geoengineering, he has a program every Saturday afternoon into the evening, depending where you live. But geoengineering, Dane Wigington, you need to go to that website. He explains what's going on. According to him, the Earth only has about 2 more years before we go into extinction. People might disagree with him, but I have witnessed and lived this. I live on a small organic farm, and I see the effects all the time. I don't want to get into too much more detail, but I will tell you, this is very real. It's probably the greatest threat to planet Earth, except for nuclear war. And so this is life and death. This is one of the most frightening and threatening things we face today. And I explain that more in depth on in the book. The next one is GMOs. GMOs is, of course, the contamination of our foods through through modifying our foods and putting the food, making it toxic, making it change our whole digestive system. It's very, very bad. There's tons of information on the internet about GMOs and what it's done, how it's basically ruined our agriculture all over the world. Then we have something called mind control, MK Ultra, and there's other things that go on. Just very hideous. People don't even understand what they're doing to us through the different frequencies and the things that go on. I explain that again in my book, Social Engineering. Social Engineering, there's a book that you can get online. It's called Silent Weapons for Quiet Wars. This has been going on. It's a program. It's something that was written out and an agenda that was followed to change our culture. And it works very effectively. It's been out now for, I think they developed it in the 50s or the 60s. But what it does is slowly but surely reshapes our history and our culture. The book explains it quite well. It's a free download. Or they'll read it to you if you want. It makes it very, very easy. And as old as I am now, I've told you before, I'm almost 80. I have watched this happen. Slowly but surely, all the taboos of the past are now the norms. All of the perversion and lack of morals that goes on today in our society. And of course, one of the latest things now is this thing called woke. I don't even know if I want to give it the time of day to try to explain it, but we've all become victims to that. So that's social engineering. Let's see. I think I only have a few more here. Oh, yes, transhumanism. Transhumanism, beside the fact that they're messing with the human DNA and trying to inject Satan's DNA into us through the vaccines, it's also the concept that through technology, the globalists think that they can actually obtain eternal life instead of through the blood and the forgiveness of Messiah. Very hideous, very horribly egregious thing. War, well, war is the ultimate insanity. It's been going on ever since man, fighting each other. And, of course, today war is big business, and the globalists finance both sides of it. It's a real money maker, and it's also a depopulator. Then we have electromagnetic radiation. That's what we're absorbing or being affected by when we sit in front of our computer, our cell phones, and so on and so forth. Then we have nuclear radiation. This is a real problem because nuclear waste is almost impossible to get rid of. And when you have war, you have an EMP, some kind of a electromagnetic pulse, and the electricity goes down, it's going to be a real problem because those pumps, even though they have backup power supplies, those pumps are going to go down and the nuclear plants are going to go into meltdown, just like Fukushima, just like Chernobyl. Then, let's see, I have one last one. It's child sex trafficking. This is the big, big money maker for the globalists, the human trafficking, the things that go on there that I don't even want to get into the details of, but it's all over the net. There's people that are just, lives are being ruined, children are being sacrificed to Satan, and so on and so forth. So that kind of wraps up my my synopsis of my graphic. Like I said, read it, read the book, read the detailed explanation. So now we're going to move on to what more about Satan and his devices. Satan does have power. He has authority in this world. People don't seem to realize that. You talk to some people, let's just say in mainstream religion, and say, well, who's the God of this world? Well, there'll be a lot of different answers, but the answer is in Scripture. So we're going to go now to 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 1, and we're going to read verses 1 through 4. It says, therefore, having service, even as we received compassion, we do not lose heart. We don't lose heart because we understand how the world works and how the different powers and municipalities and authorities in this world are organized. Verse 2, but we have renounced the secret ways of shame. In other words, we've repented. We're not blatantly sinning. We understand the effects of sin in our life and what goes on. So we renounce that. We've repented. We're new men and women in Messiah. Not walking in the craftiness or the falsifying of the word of Elohim, but by the manifestation of truth, recommending ourselves to every human conscience in the sight of Elohim. And indeed, if our good news has been veiled, it has been veiled in those who are perishing. So certain people are blind. If you're not called and you're not, your mind hasn't been opened, which takes a miracle. The masses go on in denial. They go on just being blinded through various things. And I talk about the mindset of the world in my book. Get into that in great detail. In whom the mighty one of this age has blinded the minds of the unbelieving, and the enlightenment of the good news, so that the esteem of Messiah does not shine on them. So who is the mighty one? It talks about in the King James, it actually says the God of this world. And so who is the God of this world? Well, it's Satan. He's the mighty one of this world. But I want to go back now and draw your attention to verse 2. Because it says here, walking in craftiness. Talks about in Genesis, he was more subtle, more crafty. than any of the beasts of the field. That describes Satan. He is the master manipulator. But here it says falsifying the word. Falsifying the word means to counterfeit. So I get into what I've talked about over and over, replacement theology. So what we have is a situation where almost, I would say more than half of the things that mainstream religion believes is not provable or cannot be found in Scripture. That's replacement theology. So that's counterfeiting, taking the truth in Scripture, for example, the Sabbath that was changed to Sunday. Well, that's all Satan's doing. That's all part of his methodology. So let's move on now to Ephesians, and we're going to go and read Ephesians 2, verses 1 through 3. Again, getting back to the authority and the power that Satan has to deceive, to manipulate, to cause people to sin, to cause people to be deceived. So we read here in Ephesians 2, pick it up here in verse 2, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the ruler and authority of the air, the spirit that now is working in the sons of disobedience. Well, whose spirit is that? That's Satan's spirit. He has a spirit. He's a spirit being. Yah has a spirit, the set apart spirit. But this spirit, as it says here, he is the ruler and authority of the air. It says in King James, he's the prince of the power of the air. So he has power, actually, to broadcast emotions, anger. Sometimes you're going along and you go, where did that thought come from? See, there's all these different negative emotions that people have. Bitterness, unresolved anger, unforgiveness, all of these things that affect people's behavior and that cause them to sin. Verse 3, among whom you also once lived in the lust of our flesh, doing the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath. So here it describes how it influences people. Anger, lust. The world is filled with lust. The world is filled with greed. It's everywhere. And pride, all of these things. And these attitudes, these negative feelings, can be broadcast by Satan because he's the prince of the power of the air. So we see here now how he works. We were once influenced that way. But once you become converted, once you be able to have a change of mind and be able to tune Satan out, well, then you're free from this negative influence. I want to go now over to Ephesians 4 and talk a little bit more about this because it's very important. You see, people remain sometimes in a state of mind where they just can't forgive. They can't love. They have unresolved anger. They have all of these feelings. And this is all because of Satan's constant broadcasting, stirring up people, trying to divide and conquer people. So we'll read here in Ephesians 4, verses 25 and 26. It says here, therefore, having put off the false, speak truth, each one to another, to his neighbor, for we are members one of another. It says, be wroth or be angry, but do not sin. Do not let the sun go down upon your rage, neither give place to the devil. So the way I like to put it is, there's very little in between. You're either tuned into the devil as the prince and the power and the authority of the air, or you're tuned into Yah. And so it's very important that we stay close to him in prayer, study, fasting, meditation, so that we don't fall under this influence. Now, another one of Satan's most powerful devices or methods or methodology is that he is able to change darkness into light. We read about that over here in Isaiah 5:20. This is something that it's happening to us right now. We don't even realize it, that he can change darkness into light. Isaiah 5, verse 20, "Woe unto those that call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter." This is the part of the way that his methodology or his devices work. So right now, if you're paying attention, sometimes I don't want to pay attention, but it's right in our face all the time. There's a certain political party. And what are they saying? Well, they're saying that what they're saying and what they're doing is to save democracy. Well, just the opposite is true. They're the ones that are destroying democracy, and they're guilty of that. You see, that's darkness to light. This is more replacement theology, more word games. Now I want to go to 2 Corinthians. We're going to read 2 Corinthians 11, verses 3 and 4. This whole section in 2 Corinthians in this chapter is very amazing, because it gets down to the bottom line. It gets down to what we've read about, that Satan is the god of this world, and that he has all this power and influence. Now, he's not going to keep it forever. Eventually, he's going to be locked up, put away, and destroyed ultimately. But we do have to be very cognizant of this, because these are things that are happening that affect us all the time. And Paul is trying to warn the Corinthian assembly here. He talks about this, this is all replacement theology, so to speak. All right, 2 Corinthians, chapter 11. He's talking, we'll pick it up in verse 2. It says here, "For I am jealous for you with a jealousy according to Elohim. For I gave you in marriage as one to a husband, to present you as an innocent maiden to Messiah." Well, what's he talking about? He's talking about preparing us as the bride of Messiah. Talks about that in Revelation 19. The bride has prepared herself, but the job of the ministry is to teach and instruct and protect. Just what Paul is trying to do here. He's trying to warn. That's the job of the ministry. The ministry should be talking about these scriptures to protect their flock. He says, "But I'm afraid of you, as the serpent deceived Eve by his trickery." See, his methods, his deception. So your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Messiah. And it is simple. The more you come out of the world, the less the influence is there. Don't get involved in politics. Don't get involved in all of the protests and all the craziness of this world. So now he says, "For indeed, if he who is coming proclaim another Yeshua." So is there a false Messiah? That's what he's saying. Remember, I keep saying a false system and a true system. Well, there's also a false Messiah. Then he says, "Whom we have not proclaimed," or you receive a different spirit. What's that different spirit? I just explained it in Ephesians 2. That's Satan's spirit. He's a spirit being, his power and influence. And he works on us, if we let our guard down, if we don't put on the armor, he works on us and he influences us. After all, look, David was influenced. Satan made David number Israel. So we go on here, "or a different good news." Well, what's that? Well, some people think when they die they go to heaven, and they don't realize the kingdom is on earth. The message that Yeshua preached was the kingdom of God on the earth. So, or the kingdom of Yah or Elohim on the earth, rather. Okay, so we're going to finish up here. We're going to go to the last couple of verses in 2 Corinthians 11. We're going to read here verses 13, 14, and 15, which I think is a good summation to this whole thing about Satan's devices and how he operates. Verse 13, for such are false emissaries, deceptive workers, masquerading as emissaries of Messiah. And no wonder, King James says, marvel not. For Satan himself masquerades as a messenger of light. See, you change darkness to light. And so what happens is that people are deceived by them saying, well, this is good, this is the real gospel, this is how you're saved, this is how you're converted, all these things like that. It said, is it not surprising then if his servants also masquerade as servants of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works? So what is he saying? Let me just sum it up. He's saying that Satan has ministers, he has his own churches, he has his own gospel, or good news message, and there's a whole system of false worship. He's warning them about this. So it's very, very important that we realize that there is this false system of religion, and the people will get offended, but most of mainstream religion is false, it's pagan. That's why I have my replacement theology, that's why I have my book about the end of the New World Order. I explain all these things in great detail. So beware of Satan's devices. Remember, he is the mighty one of this world, and we have to keep our guard up lest we fall we fall away. We destroy ourselves by listening to this message. So thanks for listening, and we'll talk to you next time.